Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today we'll have the latest shortly on that arrest in the investigation into the murder of 9-year-old Olivia Pratt Corbell in Liverpool. Boosters for the over 50s, and the HSE explains why it's asking people who haven't had any COVID vaccine to come forward now. Saving history in Tipperary, Brian O'Connell visits a protected house in danger of being lost to dereliction. How much can you save on fuel if you change how you drive? We'll find out. And it's Friday, so we'll be discussing all the big stories of the week with The Gathering. Text us this morning on 51551. Email today cb@rte.ie. On Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. First this morning, if you are already worried about paying your energy bills, does it stick in your craw if the companies themselves will make massive profits this winter? Well, Eamon Ryan, the Energy Minister, signalled this week that the government is examining the introduction of a windfall tax, but the energy companies themselves have warned they will resist any attempt to claw back their profits, claiming the move would deter firms from investing in Ireland. Well, to discuss this now, I'm joined by Dara Cassidy of bonkers.ie, a price comparison website, and Tony Foley, Emeritus Associate Professor of Economics at DCU. Good morning to you both. Dara, first to you. You've been looking into this windfall tax on energy companies. Given your research, how big of an impact do you think it would have?
Good morning, Claire. In theory, it sounds great. I'm not against a windfall tax in theory, especially if it's going to help consumers. I think what people need to remember is that there's no easy solutions. If there were easy solutions, we'd have done them by now. But a lot of the obscene profits that are being made in the energy industry at the moment, they're not being made by Irish companies. And to make things worse, they're being made by companies abroad, which are selling gas, coal and oil that isn't on our territory or that isn't even in EU territory. So going after that money is going to be very, very difficult, particularly if Ireland wants to do it alone. So Shell, BP, Russia's Gazprom, Saudi Arabia's Aramco have all made absolutely huge profits over the last few months. They're really, really benefiting from the energy crisis that we've seen. But as I've said, Claire, they're not Irish companies. Some of them aren't even EU companies. And they're making all of this money by extracting gas, coal and oil that is elsewhere. Now, we do have the Corrib gas field, so we could go after the owners of that. But it's not a huge gas field. It's rapidly depleting. So I think the windfall that we get is probably not going to be as great as we think it is, but that's definitely one solution. But then when you move further down, I suppose, the energy supply chain, and you look at the suppliers of energy, so just your household names like Pinergy, Panda Power, Prepay Power, a lot of them aren't actually making money. In fact, some of them are making losses. So there's very little there for actually the government to tax.
So we can't get at the big money makers here. That's your point.
Yeah, well, it would be difficult. That's not to say that it can't be done. I mean, where there's a will, there's a way. But I definitely think it would have to be done at EU level. I mean, we can't just decide that we're going to go after money that's in Russia. I mean, Putin definitely isn't going to play ball with this. Maybe Shell and BP might be a little bit easier. But then you have to, you know, decide who owes what and who's owed what. We've seen when we've tried to have a level playing field with corporation tax, Claire, how difficult that has been to get agreement as all countries bicker over who should pay what and what's due where. And I think it would probably be the same if we tried to introduce an energy tax. Now, in Britain, they've introduced a windfall tax on the companies that operate in the North Sea, and they're expected to get about $5 billion from that. But the British are only levying the profits, for example, on the gas and the oil that has been extracted from UK territories. So that kind of shows you as well the problems that they're facing. So it can be done. I mean, we can levy those profits on, like I said, the Corrib gas field.
Yeah. Well,
we can't go after other people's money.
But let's look at Bord Gáis, right? Owned by Centrica, they made €40 million in half-year profits this year. And that was a record figure. It was up by 74%. So if €23 million was enough profit for Bord Gáis last year, why isn't it enough this year?
You know, it's a fair question, and you could look at taxing them a little bit more. But Claire, Bord Gáis has around maybe 650,000 customers, so it has around 350,000 electricity customers and 300,000 gas customers. So let's say it made €100 million profit for the entire year. and all that profit had to be given back to customers. Now, it wouldn't leave Bord Gáis in a great place because they'd be maybe operating at a loss or at zero profit. That's still a refund of maybe €150 for every single customer. Now, it might seem like a lot of money, but then you have to remember that gas and electricity prices have gone up by around €1,600 combined over the past 18 months. So even there, if you were to take all of the profits and give us back to everyone, it's still really only a drop in the ocean.
A drop in the ocean, though, is better than nothing. And then if you look at the ESB example, record profits last year, €679 million. I mean, would you put an extra tax on them?
You could. The ESB is interesting. We own the ESB, so that's what we need to remember. So there's no Volsha funds, there's no pension funds, there's none of these nasty things that some people think are awful that are going to take the money. Anytime the ESB makes a profit, it really goes back to the taxpayer. So for 2021, the ESB did announce a record operating profit of up to around €700 million. Now, the government took a record dividend of around €126 million and took it for the tax coffers for us. And now, a multiple of that was then probably paid out in the form of the €200 energy credit. Now, you could say, well, what about the other €500 or €600 million? Shouldn't we have gone after that? Shouldn't we have asked for a bigger dividend? We could have. But we need to remember that there is huge, huge investment that is needed in the Irish electricity grid over the coming years, which is borne by the fact that there's a threat of blackout this winter for the first time in years. Also, we need to invest in the grid to cope with the huge amount of renewable energy that we want to start producing. So according to Airgrid and ESB, anywhere from maybe €2 to €2.5 billion is needed over the coming years to invest in the grid. So that €500 or €600 million is really just going to be reinvested into the grid. So if we took it today, which we could do, and maybe the government should take a bigger dividend, really that would probably just come back to buy taxpayers in a few years' time. But the ESB says, actually, do you know what? We now need to find extra money to pay for the investment in the grid, because you've taken that money from us.
All right. Well, Tony Foley's listening to all of that. What do you say to that, taking from Peter to pay Paul and actually stealing from the pot that we need for investment in our energy infrastructure if we start taxing people through a windfall charge?
Yeah, I agree with most of what was being said. There's two reasons for a windfall tax. One is to collect revenue, and it would be a relatively small amount of revenue because we don't produce a lot of, as it were, oil and so on and gas ourselves. We use it, obviously, but we don't make it, as it were, or find it ourselves. But the other reason is social cohesion, that there is a perception, as it were, that oil companies and energy companies generally are making huge profits. So to be seen, as it were, to share the burden might well be the reason. But I agree totally that it wouldn't be billions of euro coming in. As was already mentioned, the UK expect to collect about 5 billion, and they produce vast quantities of oil and gas. So if we look at ourselves, we're going to be in the hundreds of millions at the absolute most, and that's going to have a relatively small impact on the actual bills. But it would have an impact in terms of the social cohesion and the appearance that everyone is making an effort.
Who are you suggesting, though, is taxed, Tony? Because Dara has explained the difference between the generators and the suppliers.
Oh, absolutely. It's the people who actually own the coal and own the gas and own the oil that they're getting these excess profits. But in Ireland, we do produce a certain amount of energy ourselves, whether it's through more environmental favourable means, whether it's through wind energy and also through gas. So as I say, it would be a relatively small amount of money, but you would be taxing on the one hand those companies who are making windfall profits. And remember what a windfall profit defined as is that you're basically getting something that you weren't responsible for. So hence, it's a windfall. It's just your good luck that you're making electricity from wind, for example, and now the price has rocketed. So therefore, you're getting that advantage. So it would be relatively small amounts. But then there's another source, as it were, which is another windfall. And you look at something like Bord Gáis, and you mentioned their high increase in profits. And in one sense, there shouldn't have been any increase in profits because they have to buy the gas and so on to turn it into domestic users and industrial users. So are they maintaining margins? Are they increasing margins? And that's a separate element that needs to be looked at. Now, if we're thinking of any windfall tax, of course we should think about what we're doing and the consequences. But I note the Electrical Association of Ireland, which represents the electrical producers and so on, basically said that the market has to be allowed to operate. Well, first of all, I'd say, no, it doesn't. You don't have to allow a market to operate. It may be operating in a way that's unsatisfactory. And secondly, they made the point that it may make plans and investments which have been made on a set of figures now invalid and therefore discourage investment. But I would doubt very much that any serious business makes its plans on a set of figures which include windfalls associated with wars. So the idea that they were building in these huge prices into their longer term assessment is probably not valid, that mm-hmm. they would be windfalls for them. But on the bottom line, yes, there wouldn't be huge amounts of money coming from this because we don't produce a lot of the actual basic energy ourselves. But secondly, we maybe need to say, well, we have to share the burden in whatever okay. way it is, however right. small it is.
Dara, will you address that point, the social cohesion point that Tony makes, that really it matters less how much is generated by the windfall tax. What really matters is that the burden is seen to be shared.
Oh, no, Tony makes an excellent point, and I agree 100% with what he's saying. What I'm just trying to get through is that there aren't any easy solutions and there aren't any easy answers. And I just fear that maybe the government and perhaps some in opposition and some in the industry are pretending that there are all of these profits out there that can be easily got at. And that's not the case. But certainly, yes, we do need to be seen to be, or the government needs to be seen to be doing everything that it can do. And the point around social cohesion is extremely important. But it's not going to be that easy answer. I just would like to say that when we talk about the winners in all of this, and I was saying how Shell, BP, Gazprom, all of those huge gas and oil companies are making money, we tend to forget that the government is actually benefiting slightly from the energy crisis as well in terms of an increase in VAT. Because VAT, as with all products and services, is levied on the net price. And over the past 18 months, the price of gas, the price of oil, the price of petrol and diesel has absolutely shot up, which means that the government's VAT take has shot up as well. Now, a lot of that has been paid back in the form of the energy credits, but I think the government needs to look, you know, at what it's doing itself. There's a 9% rate of VAT on gas and electricity at the moment. It was temporarily reduced. It is due to go back up in October. The 13.5%. I don't think in an energy crisis when electricity and gas prices are at record levels, the government should be taking, you know, well over a tenth extra in the form of tax.
So not only are you saying that it shouldn't go back to 13.5%, you're saying the VAT rate should come down again from 9%.
Yeah, I mean, well, we have a 0% VAT rate on food, Claire, because we realise how important it is and nobody complains about that. Now, obviously, some people spend far more on food than others and some people are richer than others, but we kind of agree that food is a pretty important thing to have, so it's taxed mainly at 0%. I don't see why energy should be that different, particularly given where we are now in an energy crisis, levying 13.5% when, like I said, gas and electricity prices are at record levels, I think is absolutely silly.
Tony, what do you say to that?
I tend to agree. I think we're going to have to move as a society to a notion that energy is no longer a private good, that it's more a public good. If, for example, we don't say to people, you have to pay for your primary school education, except, of course, for voluntary contributions. You don't have to pay for your secondary school education. We provide it and we pay for it out of general taxation. And over time, we've extended the range of social services, as it were, in terms of what should be provided by the state. And energy is increasingly coming to a situation whereby it's a basic necessity of life, like housing, like health, like education. And we may well have to get to a situation where we're providing it and paying whatever is missing between the price we pay and the economic cost of it through taxation. It does seem, and it's not just in terms of energy, it's inflation generally, that a government benefits from inflation, because it's not just the energy price goes up, it's everything. The VAT on everything goes up, incomes go up in nominal terms, and of course the government gets the higher income tax associated.
Yeah, but on
with
the
that.
Other side of that, Tony, the government is expected to provide some of the solutions. So the tax take, the increased tax take, it could be argued, is used to help people get through inflationary times.
Yes, or you reduce the income tax, or you reduce the tax take itself, and that helps people. Because with energy in particular, we have to get away from this notion that it's, you know, the hard-pressed, or it's a few people, or the people at the lowest level of income. We're looking at this affecting households across the nation, as it were. We're looking of some projections as a majority of households reaching household poverty, which is defined as 10% of your income or more going on energy. So it's not just a minority group, as it were, it's basically a fundamental change in the cost of a vitally important product. And therefore, we need to think differently about it.
Okay, Ed is listening. And Dara, I'll ask you Ed's question. He says, if the French government is able to impose a cap on energy prices to consumers, why can't that be done here?
So well, the... Sorry, let's quickly say...
Dara, yeah, go ahead.
So the French government has had to nationalise EDF, which is its main electricity provider. And they did this because the price cap is going to be hugely, hugely expensive because they're practically forcing a company to sell at a loss. So France has spent 12 billion euro alone on buying the remaining 16% stake so it could cap prices. So that's a lot of money. And I think it's probably going to cost the French even more over the coming months. And I think that's only going to become clear in time. So it's been hugely expensive for the French government already.
Tony?
The main point in terms of putting a tax price control on is that we import the value of our energy. So we can't control that price. Bring it in and sell it to companies to produce electricity at whatever price we like and subsidise the gap. But we do not control the bulk of the cost of providing gas and electricity, which households use.
We'll leave it there, Tony, because your line is starting to disintegrate on us there. But thank you both, Tony Foley and Dara Cassidy. Coming up next, an arrest in the Olivia Pratt Corbell case. That's the 9-year-old who was shot dead in Liverpool earlier this week. That's after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.